Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the AfterBuzz after show of Mr. Robot. I'm Ashley, your host for the night. I've got a great panel of hosts here to discuss the episode with me. Wow, we've got a lot of stuff from this episode. We have Romero, we have Mobley, we have Angela Price, and of course, Elliot, Mr. Robot. So grab your Adderall, JK. Be back in just a second with you guys, all right? We'll see you soon.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right. Welcome, everybody.
I am still in shock. My brain is overloaded right now.
I have to spend so much time processing all of these episodes, you know?
It's so crazy.
Like you said, I think we all may need some Adderall.
I think so. I mean, I have some here just, you know, in case. I mean, I didn't say that out loud.
That's clearly the solution based off of this episode, right?
All right. Welcome, guys, to the AfterBuzz After Show, Mr. Robot. This was a great episode. I'm Ashley, your host for the night. Thank you all for joining me. And I have some amazing, very handsome, debonair, dashing co-host with
me
today.
She flatters us.
Yes. So why don't you guys introduce yourself
Absolutely.
And let them know where they can find you.
My name is Taylor. I'm Taylor Bolt. I'm new to the AfterBuzz family here on Mr. Robot.
Welcome.
So thank you very much for having me tonight. I'm very excited to be here. You can find me on Twitter at Taybolt. That's B-O-L-D-T. And on Instagram at T-Bolt, also B-O-L-D-T.
Oh, there's a D, huh?
Yeah, there's a D. My ancestors kind of threw it in there to mix it up.
He's got the coolest name in the world. What's up, everybody? It's JC. You can find me at JC Rubio TV all across the board. And Taylor, my man, welcome to the team.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we got to get a quick shout out to Steve Kaufman.
He's in Comic-Con right now.
Hopefully talking to the cast.
Hopefully having the time of his life. So shout out to Steve, and I'm sure he'll have some great updates for us when he gets back.
Hey, Steve.
And guys, if you guys want to chat with us, we are in the chat tonight. JC is on it. So give us your comments. Let us know what you thought about this episode. We are excited and ready to just dive right in.
Yeah,
right?
We, you know, chime in. Let us know what you think. You're our fourth co-host.
Yes,
yeah, you might replace me tonight. I can't even speak. But yeah, shout out to Jeff P., Sylvia Love. Chime in with all your thoughts, your theories. Everyone join along. We could use the help because there's
Absolutely.
A lot to talk about.
All right, so then just first initial impressions of this episode. What did you think about it? Did you have any expectations going into it from the first two episodes? We came fresh out of the season premiere. How are you guys feeling about episode two of season two?
Yeah, I feel like a lot happened. You know, I mean, we got sort of the phone call cliffhanger at the end of last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that there was going to be something interesting in this one, but it didn't really have much to do with that, actually. It was very much centered around Elliot. And then, of course, our detective friend who is now on the case, as it were.
I love how, and maybe this is just me sort of reaching now that I'm in the Mr. Robot world, and I'm like, everything is a clue. But I love how there's kind of a theme now revolving around each of these episodes. And tonight I felt like this was about control or trying to gain control and realizing that you're not in control or that control is an illusion for a lot of these characters. So that was the biggest takeaway that I got from it. And we'll kind of dive more into it with the other characters in this episode. But that was something that was really interesting to me. And it kind of made me think, like, am I in control? Like, you know, do I know what's going on? Is this an illusion? Is this real? You know?
This show gets under your skin.
It does.
It really does.
Running with the theme, the whole season, the theme is control is an illusion. I think tonight, more specifically, it was the breaking point.
Yeah.
Because of the definition of the show, was it Colonel Panic, which means basically you're. I wrote it down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the operation.
Give us
Let's
the notes.
See. The abbreviation is KP. It is an action taken by an operating system upon detecting an internal fatal error. Thank you. From which it cannot safely recover.
Mm-hmm. You know, like the blue screen of death?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
It's happened to all our computers, and it kind of happened to Elliot.
Not kind of. In a major way, it happened to Elliot.
Can it get any darker this season? They said it was going to be dark, but I can't wait to talk about this tonight, the scene.
Maybe it can, though. I'm a little afraid to put that out there just because, I don't know, like, it's dark. Absolutely dark, but we can probably still go down further.
But I love it, though. It's one of the things, and it's really sad. I don't know what that says about me, but it's one of the things that I really like about this show. I love about this show is that it's not afraid to push the limits. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of scenes where I was like, am I really watching this? Like, is this on USA? But it's just great that they push boundaries and they don't limit themselves as far as the storyline is concerned. And that makes for really compelling television shows and you know, scenes to watch.
Absolutely. So, let's dig into that.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and dive in. So we start off with Romero. We do a little bit of a flashback with Romero and Mobley.
I was so sad.
May he rest in peace.
Are you kidding me?
Pour a cup for our man, Romero.
Doing the research for the show, I felt, you know, this season it was going to delve into everyone's backstory. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you know, we didn't get to see Romero the first two episodes.
Right.
And I saw this and it's just like, because I really enjoyed his character. He was the staunch one of the group. He was the one that stood up to Mr. Robot, Elliot, and then to see him just snuffed out like that, I wanted to see more.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm actually conflicted. I'm gonna take that back, because as much as I wanted to see more of him, didn't he just, Sam Esmail, give us everything just in the history, you know, in the open
he
of
did,
the show
yeah.
of Romero?
I love the flashback. Mm-hmm. I love the setup of, like, the cursed arcade and getting to see some Romero. I was not expecting him to go like that off screen, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, come across the body.
I know. It's just so sad.
What is this, Game of Mr. Robot?
Yeah, Game of Mr.
No one is safe.
Well, they were at an arcade, so it could be the game. That's the sequel to Game of Thrones, is the Game of Mr. Robot.
Well, we're setting up a theme, I think, because we have, you know, this is the second that I can think of right now major character that we see, we just come across the body. We don't see them actually die.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting, it's very Shakespearean.
Mm, you know? Yes, absolutely.
It's a very Shakespearean choice.
And I think about what Price said, you know, when he was talking to Angela, you know, in regards to Gideon, about, you know, bad things always happen to good people. I'm paraphrasing, but something of that sort. And thinking about, like, Gideon and Romero, like, these were people who, they had good intentions. You know, we see in the flashback that he was trying to be on the straight and narrow. He was trying to take care of his mom. He was trying to, you know, do the right things. And this was a movement that they all believed in, that they all thought was for the greater good. And it's like, look where it ended him, you know, look how it ended up for him. So just interesting how in this world, you know, the people who have the best intentions or are trying to do the right things, you know, quote unquote, kind of get the short end of the stick, you know?
Yeah.
And to add
please.
The beauty on top of that is that we've watched the show now for what are we on, episode 13?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And until now, we finally started getting a backstory on Romero.
Yeah.
And in other shows, we'd be like, you know, I want to know more about this character, but it's almost like Sam is almost playing with us, like, here's a crumb, here's something from Romero. We're like,
thank you.
I love the mystery. I mean, I think that's such a part of the show, just at its core, for all of these characters, and for Elliot especially. I mean, he's the biggest enigma of all of them, where we can't figure this guy out. So not knowing Romero, and then the realization that we may never get the chance to, is sort of, it's painful in a good way, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, we get the flashback, and who knows, we might get other flashbacks.
Oh,
so I'm crossing my fingers for that. But yeah, as painful as it is, it's poignant.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole, like, you don't have control.
And I want to share, like I said, I wanted to bring the fans in as well. And we have Shay T789. And she said, what's up, y'all? The cement of vomit scene was one of the most difficult scenes to watch in TV history. We're going to dive into that. But
we'll get into it in a second. Yeah. Okay, quick question for the chat, for people watching, and for you guys. Why do you think, because I know that Mobley told Darlene, and so they knew that he was dead. Why do you think they didn't try to sort of cover up the murder? I mean, his mom was the only one who was there, and she didn't know he was dead. Or try to collect files or anything that would connect them. I know that his servers, you know, literally exploded.
Self-destructed, which was pretty cool. I kind of want that on my computer.
But kind of leaving stuff behind. I know, right? Exactly. If your parents try to get on your computer, folks, don't try this at home.
I have nothing incriminating on my computer, but I still think it's cool.
Of course.
All right.
But yeah, but you know, to kind of cover their tracks, the FBI agent found those files, those papers that eventually led, you know, the flyer. Like, do you think it was reckless for them to sort of leave that stuff behind? Or was it just he panicked in the moment and then...
Yeah, see, this is a really good point, because I thought it was super sloppy for Romero, you know? I think it was, he seems like the kind of guy, because he's more paranoid, I think than most of them. Yeah. They're all paranoid, mm-hmm. but I mean, he's the one who's been in prison for 6 years. We learned that at the beginning of the episode, and he has paper evidence that he didn't burn or destroy. That his
or why didn't Darlene and the rest of them come after once they found out he was dead and try and clean that up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something, anything. Maybe they were just trying to get away from it, but it led them, you know. Right.
Yeah, essentially.
Without getting too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So that makes you wonder what exactly happened in that scene, which hopefully we will find out on Romero's death.
We're going to see
caused
that.
Him to panic.
Yeah.
And be, like you said, sloppy. Hmm. So, I don't know. It's more speculation. Just when you think you're going to get an answer, we get more questions.
Never.
Questions. We're like an enigma wrapped in a arcade, wrapped in a whole bunch of other stuff.
But some people actually had problems with with Romero's mother scene later in the episode. Okay, we'll get into that a little bit. Sylvia Love.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I think Romero's death is going to be central for a while. I think that the circumstances around his shooting are going to last. I predict for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And it was great seeing at the time with he and Mobley being like, they're buds. They were actually just genuine just friends cool. outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were cool. That's it, you know? Yeah.
Mm. And now sort of seeing the seed being planted where it's going to cause even more paranoia within the group. And we're kind of seeing a wedge being drawn between, you know, and that whole thing that could possibly even...
What's going to happen with Mobley?
What's
going to
happen with them? Yeah. Mobley, Trenton, everybody else who was a part of the F Society crew, is that going to cause, a lot of paranoid?
Well, they're falling apart. I mean, they're getting executed, maybe. We don't know exactly. Now they don't trust each other.
Yeah, they're thinking it's Dark Army. And now that Dom, the FBI agent, is starting to find some clues. Yeah. And now, because right now it's turning into a hornet's nest.
Right.
They're infighting and whatnot. But now you're going to have possibly the added pressure that Dom is getting closer. So how are they going to handle that?
Plus, through all of this, Elliot's AWOL. Through all of this, he has no contact with him whatsoever.
And speaking of Elliot, let's just jump right in to the fun madness that never stops. So we had some really great scenes. For those of you who have not seen it, please watch it first because spoilers are ahead. Wow. Yes. So we mentioned in the chat there was some really great scenes with. I don't know what to make of it. It's like it's really. It's really hard for me to his mind.
I think the Adderall montage might be one of my favorite things so far.
Of this entire season
of all of
for
it.
Both, yeah.
Yeah, for of either season because I thought it was just really well done. He goes to any length to try to keep his demons at bay.
Yeah.
And it's clearly not a long-term solution,
right.
But throughout that entire montage, he's so happy. And I love that we get to see, even if it's drug-induced and partly psychosomatic or whatever, we get to see a happy Elliot. Yeah, we get to see him smile for kind of the first time. I mean, he went off, the deep end, for sure.
A little bit.
He took a lot of Adderall. I mean, that was...
I've never heard of someone... Yeah, for that long.
Yeah.
Modafinil, Elliot. Okay, we'll talk later. But now what I was going to say... No, but here's another thing. Kudos to Rami Malek, because we were talking about it, that this, I guess Sam Esmail spoke, I believe on, I don't know if it was a podcast, or I read it somewhere, that this episode was supposed to be the funny episode.
Yeah.
Mm. And we were waiting, I told you guys, coming in, this is supposed to be the funny episode.
And we were like, where
is it? This is so dark. But, and then we got to the Adderall montage.
Yeah, the Adderall montage. Oh. Perfect. It was levity, I guess?
Yeah. Mm.
In a mountain of darkness.
We should address the preamble to that scene, though, the cement... All of that, that goodness, the cement and the vomit. And...
That's what I was saying. I don't know what to make of it because this is all in his head, essentially.
Yeah, and I think it's like we see the man in the black suit, which has been a theme always of his paranoia. But I thought it was really happening.
Yeah,
and
same here.
The show always does this to me. You know what I mean? I'm like, what is real? Because it could all be fake. I don't know. It could all be in his head. But black SUVs, man. It's like,
that's a good
nothing good ever comes from black SUVs.
And do you think it was a purposeful choice by Esmail himself to put in a Walter White-looking type of gentleman that's sitting in the because that is one of his favorite shows as well.
Yeah.
He loved Breaking Bad. So maybe a little slight tip of the cap.
And it kind of reminded me of Beautiful Mind, too, with Russell Crowe, with the guy who was also... you know, in his imagination. Yeah, it's that same kind of stereotypical, like, 50s, like, you know, hey, Sonny, you know, type of thing. Sly mm-hmm. guy who just kind of roughs you up a little bit, and then you find out he's not real.
Can I ask a question?
He's not even outside. I mean, he's just...
Okay.
He's in his apartment.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. Because the internet was... Yeah. Well, the internet's been talking about it all week, that is he in prison? Is it an institution? Because since it's all made up in his mind, did we get any clues or is... No?
I don't know if there's anything... I don't know if there's anything concrete. I mean, the diner...
No pun intended, yeah.
The diner, maybe intended. The diner that he keeps going to, it could be like a cafeteria. It could be like some sort of institutional cafeteria.
Well, check this out. If you go a step further, if you rewatch the episodes last week, mm-hmm. the same people that were in the cafeteria were playing basketball.
Okay, okay.
Interesting.
So, like, let's say so they in
either,
prison...
They either didn't want to hire... two sets of extras.
No.
Or but no, I don't
it's
think
Hollywood
they would
guys.
I saw that on Reddit. I saw that on Reddit. Someone took a screen cap and there was the same bald headed guy that he was in the diner at the basketball game. Okay. So I'm like, okay.
That's interesting.
So chat, let us know what you think. Is mm-hmm. he in an institution, laying in a bed somewhere, you know, is he in a white jacket somewhere, hand strapped? Where are we at with that? So
and is it self induced?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because it seems like it's self induced. But
to keep yeah. Mr. Robot at bay.
Right. But I don't know. I can kind of poke holes in that, too. Yeah. It seems like...
And that's the beauty of it, because like this, once again, S. Mill told us he wanted us to go through the journey through Elliot's eyes as well, because it's infuriating. All last season, that's all we did was, is it real? Is it real? That's
sure.
all, and fans got so mad at
and
us. Because
he wants us to move past that.
But he also told us he wants us to experience this just as Elliot is.
Because it's real to Elliot, right? Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, this is Elliot's reality. It's twisted, but it's, far as he perceives it. I mean, that's sort of a theme, too. It's like, what is reality? Mm-hmm. Is it just what we perceive? So what's to say if this is how he perceives everything, this is his reality. He doesn't have an alternative reality. He had cement poured down his throat.
Yeah,
and then he threw up grits and Adderall all over the floor.
And then ate the grits.
And then
ate the Adderall
grits.
Again.
That's a rough breakfast.
It tells breakfast
you
the champions,
the
guys.
The madness.
I have it with my Wheaties every morning. Ugh. But we'll put a little pin in Elliot because we'll come back to him with Ray at the end. So going into Angela. Well, actually, let's go with Darlene and Mobley and Trenton and people getting executed.
Right.
Yeah. How are we feeling about, I guess, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Darlene... And I don't know why she feels so calm and collected and just a little bit more in control. It seems like it could be her just putting on a really good poker face with the stuff that's been happening every step of the way. She's like, no, it's not Elliot. No, nobody's after us. Nobody knows nothing. But it's like it's a very real possibility that FBIs could be, you know, right outside your door ready to knock it down and arrest you. So
yeah.
I think she did that more as, like you said, she's taking the whole, you know, taking the bull by the horns, taking the lead and just ensuring that Mobley and Trent don't flip. She's just
trying to calm everyone down
inside. She, like she was in the first episode where she was on the floor in pieces.
Yeah.
But she still has to put that face up. You know, she still has to keep it together.
But and maybe this is just a choice they made, but we haven't really seen scenes that sort of show the other side of that, at least in this episode. So it just kind of leads me to believe, like, does she know a little bit more about what's happening in the situation than maybe she's telling the others? I don't know. It just seems
she does.
Okay. Maybe
no.
That's what it is.
But I mean, I don't necessarily think that she doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the problem. So I think it's interesting that you picked up on that because that's exactly what I think that
they think.
They think. Reality is just what we perceive, right?
The fans are on top of it too. They just chimed in from the previous thought. They just said he doesn't trust us. Remember that as well. So you could be making it up to.
Oh yeah, that's the first thing. That's like one of the first things he set up.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a fun season.
And that was Jeff P. Thank you for the heads up, Jeff P.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
So I mean, do we think that this is? I mean, what's do you guys have any just really quick thoughts about what happened with Romero and sort of, and then with Trenton too, like. Is she still a part of this, or?
Well, she said it herself there that she thought it was still, I don't want to say elementary, but they were just, you know, goofy. Their intentions were not the same. She said that last season.
Were lost.
Yeah, she said that last season as well, and she stayed true to her character in that sense. So
yeah.
She's pretty much the same. She's like, My name's Bennett and I ain't in it. Yeah, at least try to wash your hands clean.
Right.
Everyone's having that buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. Elliot did last episode. Mm-hmm. Trenton and more than likely Romero.
Yeah.
Like Darlene said, everyone was half in.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Darlene.
Mm-hmm. They're all in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then speaking of all in, we have Price all in Angela's head, right? Very, very interesting scene. We were talking about this before we started doing the show. I really like Price's character because he's not the typical, you know, muhaha, evil guy, you know, rubbing his mustache. He's just, he's very methodical. And in this episode, for me, the whole theme was control. He seems to be the only person who really kind of has a step ahead of everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody is trying to like catch up to each other and be in control before the other person is control. He seems to be like light years ahead.
So what did you want to see his flaw? Because everyone has a vulnerability, including Price.
Yeah, it's like one of the principles of the whole show, right? Of hacking in general. Yeah. So there's always a flaw. There's always a bug.
Yeah.
That was the word. Right?
What's his bug?
Yeah, he's got to have one. I love all of the corporate. I love how we see just through characters humanizing E-Corp. You know what I mean? Like the humanization, is that a word?
Yeah.
Thank you for being generous. Yeah. for the entire corporation because it almost gives you that feeling, especially now that Angela's on the inside and Angela has her. We don't really know. Like, I still really like Angela, but like, am I supposed to? Should I?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got her mind made up that she. Well, we don't know. She has a very specific.
Yeah.
She has a very specific moral quandary right now. Because we did also get, you know, the it's easier to take it down from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Colby said. I don't know. She's a wild card right now, and I think Price might be too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
As far as how he can affect her, you know what I mean.
But I think he is a little bit more, like I was saying, in control of it. Like Angela right now, she seems like she is kind of hanging on the balance. Like she could go either way.
Right.
And Price is definitely trying to sway her in a very specific direction. And in which direction, I can kind of guess, but I'm not 100% sure. But there's definitely a lot of manipulation there. Sure. There's a lot of trying to make her doubt herself and doubt what she really came to do, which is great. And it's just like little tiny breadcrumbs
that
he drops.
Just to be clear, as far as the two men that they had, Saul and Jim, they had dinner with, this is a test for her to destroy the evidence against them, right? It was weird. I almost got the sense that he wanted, just the way that scene played out. I'll go back and rewatch it.
Exactly.
But
no, of course. It was all a game. It was all manipulation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Setting her up to think something else was going to happen.
Sure.
Kind of like, twice.
Yeah, exactly.
She thought she was going on a date because you see what she was wearing. And
I was surprised. I was like, that leads me to believe maybe, because I was kind of surprised that she was like into the date at first, you know what I mean? Unless she is sort of playing the game still. You know what I mean?
She's playing, she has her plan, but she forgets that she's going up against a person who's played so many games with higher stakes.
She's playing his game.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's walking into, but we can't judge that because I think that would be lazy, I think, in the writing if we think that's going to happen. So something that she's going to have, we're going to see a chink in Price's armor.
Sure.
He spoke to the Fed last week like they were nothing. I mean, it was like
so demeaning and just throw away.
There has to be something that I really look forward to. I want to see that chink to give it dimensionality and to give him another side.
Well, I think for him, because when he was talking, you know, with the FBI agents and sort of talking about how we need to create this illusion for the public that we have everything in control, that nothing's wrong, and that we basically are on it. So I think for him, having that illusion there, that's his stronghold. That's what he relies on. So poking a hole in that and exposing that and having people see that he's not in control, that he doesn't have it all together, and exposing him for who he really is, I think that is a part of the weakness. And so if Angela can kind of tap into that and we can figure out how she can play into that, maybe if it's her, you know, this is just me throwing out, but if it's her like sleeping with him and kind of gaining his trust or something like that, I hope that it doesn't go in that dark direction. I don't want to think about her and
we'll see.
But you know, that could possibly be it. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be that cliche, oh, you got me type of thing. It's going to be something that will take some time.
I think she's going to have to pay a price for it. You know what I mean? If she's going to try to do something from the
inside.
No, you are
on it tonight. Pay a price
in some way.
Yeah. Pay the price for price.
Letting that one lie.
So, I'm gonna write down all these puns as they happen.
Yeah, and bring the punny.
10%, okay, 10%.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You can pick up a book of all of the
tens
Taylor's.
Of dollars I will make on puns.
Hey, whatever pays the bills.
It's a big market.
So really interesting line from their conversation about, you know, once you remove emotion, then basically that's the end game. That's how you win, essentially. So what did you guys think about this and just sort of how he's trying to just really try to turn her into this like soulless, emotionless, you know, kind of like hard ass person who just, yep, I'll just destroy lives. I'll just sort of make whatever decisions I want without thinking about the repercussions and how essentially that's sort of the mindset of E Corp, Evil Corp, and sort of what they do and how they've destroyed lives without having any emotion connected to it at all.
It's just the seduction of power.
Yeah.
That's it.
Seduction.
You know, and does she get lost? We don't know. Yeah. We will see.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't wait to talk about the next guy.
Yes.
Jump
right in.
Yes. We're going to Dominique, right?
Yes. FBI Dominique. With who's her Siri equivalent?
Alexa, that's the Amazon one. It was funny because that's the commercial that we saw during,
really?
And you
was
were like,
it?
"That commercial is so odd." It's like Alec Baldwin. Yeah, that was Alexa.
Interesting.
Oh, that was well placed, Amazon.
Very
it's a well placed commercial.
I want an Alexa.
It's all planned. You know that. You know he's planned it from the beginning. But yeah, but the interesting thing about Dom is we're getting, you know, for the last two episodes, we're just getting bits and pieces and not enough to really string along. You know, I think it's just like. We're peeking into her, and he's bringing her on slowly, which tells me, I believe, the second half of the season, her arc is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Kind of like what happened with Angela. Mm-hmm. I thought, I judged the hell out of Angela last season. I was like, gosh, this is the only character that I thought was so weak, and little. She's the juiciest. To me, she's one of the juiciest plot lines of the whole show.
She's a great character right now.
Yeah, and I see.
Phenomenal.
And so I'm like, I'm trying to pick up on Esmail's beats. I'm like, okay, he's doing this with Dom.
I love that you're playing this head game with the creator. Like, you're, like, really trying to, like, outpace him.
He's playing chess with the writer.
Yeah,
director,
no, it's great. It's really nice.
It's fine. Basically, I'm Angela and Esmail's Price. Fine.
There you go.
All right. Next after show, guys, we'll have some updates for you.
No, but there's this affability to Dom's character that, I was saying FBI agent, you're going to get this stiff character. Mm-hmm. Later on, she's rolling doobies for Leslie Romero's mom.
Right. Which was so smart. Though, here's the thing, though. Like, she might just be real cold. Like, she might just be real smart and playing her game, you know? Playing her best move.
Yeah.
Because it worked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's also totally likable. I think she's a really likable character.
That's what I liked. Then that's what it was so winning about that. Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, right now, she could be a cold-hearted, you know?
Yeah, we will see. She keeps her phone in the safe. I mean...
Yes. Why?
Oh, so she needs some furniture. I really want to send her like an IKEA gift card or something. But,
and at the core, you find out that she's lonely.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that we see her because from the first episode, we see her interaction with the man in line and she's like a whippersnapper, really witty. And, you know, when she's in, you know, with the other FBI agents, when they find Romero and she's, you know, kind of like basically like taking charge. And she's somebody who just seems like she has it a little bit more together. And when she's in her private life, she kind of is just like really pathetic.
Yeah, she,
really
doesn't, she doesn't have a lot going on.
You know, like we were saying, like we just want to give her a little hug, you know? So I wonder how that arc, like why is he revealing that side to her versus some other side or some other characteristics of her? And how is just the duality of those two things going to play into an arc? And like, what's that going to mean? Like, is it going to mean that she's going to be more sympathetic to F society and help or play more of a role in that realm? Or is it going to be a situation where she's going to be like going after them hardcore for the remainder of season 2?
We need
two.
More breadcrumbs.
Bread
come on, Esmail.
Taking
give
it
us more bread.
At face value right now, I think that it's like just with the information I have right now, I would say that I think that she will still come after F Society, at least in the short term. I think that it's still part of the same thing where he's humanizing E Corp. He's humanizing the villains. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is part of the whole philosophy is that everyone's human. Everyone is human. You know, everyone has that bug. Everyone has flaws. And we get to see some of that for every, really, except Price. He's the only one that we don't see it for.
Yeah.
Right? But we get to see a weakness in almost every character, you know? And I think that we will with him too, eventually. Yeah.
All right.
I like that though. I like that. She's a villain, we don't know, but she's human regardless.
And not even so much like, is she a villain? Is
sure,
she good?
Villain's a little broad, but.
It's just like, what's her role going to be? Mm-hmm. And in this world, everyone is so specific. Even if they're there for just a short amount of time, they play a very specific role, and it's meant to help push the story along in a very monumental way. So when each person comes on, I'm like, okay, who are you? What are you going to do? What's happening? You know, type of thing. So we'll see how that develops. And then going into the more media parts of this episode, we have Ray, the lovely Craig Robinson.
Ray, I love him this role.
It's just such an interesting role.
He's great.
Role.
It's such a fun role, but I don't know what to think of Ray.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of Ray. I don't either. First we have his interaction with his dead wife, or whoever he's created in his mind. He's talking to the whole scene with the dialysis and him eating breakfast. Which I thought was just like a really sweet moment in the episode that just, it has a lot going on. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of really weird scenes. And just to kind of see this ordinary guy who doesn't really have a whole lot. I mean, there are some parallels to Elliot. I think he's kind of, if Elliot wasn't so far on the, you know, Cuckoo for Cocoa Puff side of his brain, you know, they would relate to each other really well. And so, you know, we kind of see him like, oh, he's just this just nice old swellow guy. And then we see another scene, which has me very confused. I don't know what to make of
that's what's
of
so
who
confusing.
His character is.
You know, it's a breath of fresh air, in a sense. For me, outside of the character, outside of the show, so seeing Craig Robinson tackle a role like this. Never seen this. I think it's beautiful.
It's a really good role.
I cannot wait to see, you know, like, and congrats to, like, let's say, Rami Malek and the show, to the Emmy noms and whatnot. Yeah. Possibly, you know, I'm calling it early, maybe something for Craig Robinson. I would love to see him get a nom out of it. It's too early right now. I want to see more, but just the way it's heading, maybe just because I'm conditioned to see him a certain way, and now to see him like this, it's just like, give me more.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm expecting the hot tub to come out somewhere. I'm like, we're going to get a hot tub time machine in here, Craig? Are we going to take Elliot back in time? Okay, no? Okay. Moving on. But so we have the scene with him and this gentleman who's with his family, and we don't really know exactly what, I mean, he's looking for some sort of tech expert, we're assuming, but for the reason.
So it's a flashback in a sense. I believe he was looking for a man to do the job who I believe now it's Elliot.
He thinks that it's Elliot, right? And he's just trying to get through to Elliot. Is that the idea?
No. I think Elliot's not the first person he's looked for this job.
Right. Okay. So this guy didn't have the information.
This guy didn't work out.
Moving on to Elliot. So this was, that happened in the past.
Right. So it's just showing you, it's just showing us how menacing he really is.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is not what, how he is with Elliot at all.
Right. Or the impression that we initially got from him walking the dog. Like, he just kind of seemed like that neighborhood guy, you know, who is just a sweet old neighborhood guy. But yeah, so
I was examining his office when we see him in his office later. I was trying to figure out what.
Rewatch. Yeah. Damn it, because there's going to be clues there.
I know, because I was like looking around and I was like, what kind of office is this? It almost looks like a government building or something, like the inside of a government building. My brain might have just put it there for all I know. But it was like, it was plain, but it was like, almost like maybe like a, I don't know.
This is what happens. We watch like it, and literally we're in the studio 5 minutes later after watching, digesting all of this massiveness in our head.
Yeah. So much to process.
Oh my gosh.
Kernel failure.
I know.
We got to do a rewatch.
We're suffering our own kernel failure. Someone in the chat will let us know what was in the office. We're going to put them to work as well.
I know.
I love it.
Come on, guys.
Thank you.
But I'm trying to think of anything else now.
Well, taking it to the very end or towards the end, you know, when he's talking with Elliot, he finds the, you know, when Elliot has the scene, you know, where he goes, which is a great scene, by the way. It was a great monologue. I thought it was very well acted on behalf of Rami Malek. Mm-hmm. And just a very interesting commentary on sort of what we place our values on. And, you know, he talked about how he didn't want to use God as a scapegoat to get out of his problems. And I think that for him, that kind of clicked for him. Like, I've been trying to use Mr. Robot as this way to escape, yes, from him, but also to escape from the guilt that I have about a lot of the stuff that's happened, to escape from the life that I left once this whole crash happened and once, you know, the F Society hack went through. So, yeah, I think now him kind of having, you know, just a more realization that he's not really in control and he kind of has to just own up to who he is, what he's done, who Mr. Robot is in his life, and what does that mean for him going forward?
So it's like moving past denial. Is this
Yeah.
Could be a big step for him. Admit you have a problem.
Now, can we talk about Ray and Elliot and their exchange? Maybe we should also take a step back, too, because we're already almost buying into Ray. Remember, he found his journal.
Yeah.
And so in that has all of Elliot's secrets. Mm-hmm. And that's why maybe he told him this story about control being an illusion and all we have is to fall.
To
and
manipulate it's basically, him.
I'm not sure I'm buying. I'm not drinking Ray's Kool-Aid.
Okay.
I'm not drinking Ray's Kool-Aid. I'm just trying to figure out what he's after. I'm trying to figure out what motivates him. That's what still eludes me.
And your question, Jeff P. just said it was a giant American flag the size of the wall.
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
So that, I think it's government building maybe. Or... there's still a lot of things that could be.
Yeah.
But
yeah, both him and Dom, we still haven't quite.
It could be like
a
warden's office.
Well, that explains that theory, because we're talking about institutions. You know, he was institutionalized last week, and he was with the dog last week. And that's why I said he's like a guard with a dog, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
We're grasping for straws.
Maybe.
Oh, grass. This is so juicy. I just want to bite this mic. excuse me, guys. And moving right along. I know, right? Cover your mics. Hide your kids. Hide your mics. Okay, so then, talking about... so then how do we feel now? So at the very, very top of the scene, we kind of... started with Elliot and Tyrell. I don't know.
Is this
how we open the show?
Yeah. So just taking it, you know, bringing it all back to control, do we think that this is another part of Elliot's psyche? Do we want to just kind of jump right into predictions with that? Or what are your feelings on just what Ray said to Elliot and about just sort of stumbling through and him sort of kind of accepting that maybe I need to, you know, I think what he said was, you know, stumbling in the right direction. Like, maybe I need to just move and fix the error and just kind of keep going until another error comes up. And then I fix that along with him. So, what's our take on that? Is he drinking the Mr. Robot Kool-Aid? Is he giving up the Adderall and just accepting that Mr. Robot is a part of him now?
Did they show that he was out of Adderall? Was that...
no, I think it's just he saw Mr. Robot again, so I don't know if he'll continue taking it, if he's kind of accepted that Mr. Robot is a part of him and he...
it's a great observation, actually. Yeah. You know, with Adderall wearing off, and what Ray said, just face your demon.
Yeah.
It's time to coexist with this other personality in you and just accept it.
Yep. And he made it seem so nice, too. Just what he says, I just do it every day, you know, my dialysis and my breakfast and my wife, and it's all good.
Yeah, I think this is a turning point for Elliot. I think that it could be. Yeah. I don't think his internal conflict is nearly over.
Of course not. We got a little snippet of that for the next episode. Mm-hmm. But so speaking of that, let's go ahead and just dive into some predictions. Yeah. Ooh,
all right.
Love and now, you're after Buzz TV.
Oh, actually, I got something beside a prediction. We talked about it while we were watching the show. A heads up for the fans that do not, if they do not know, tomorrow morning at 10:45 Pacific, Mr. Robot, they're doing something. It's a VR. You have to download an app. It's called the Within app. And they're doing a...
That's just for Android?
It's for Android. And it's for Android and also iOS for iPhones as well. And it's going to give you a VR experience. It's a 12-minute short film that could give you clues of what's going on. It's a companion piece with the show. It's to be debuted tomorrow at Comic-Con. But we'll get to see it live. And the reason I'm saying 10:45 to 10:57 Pacific, because it'll only be on once. And then they're pulling it off.
So you have one shot to see it.
You have one shot to see it. Unless someone probably... I'm sure someone... maybe someone will be crafty enough to make a copy of it. But to get that
full... how do you
such
copy
a tease.
Whole,
I know, right?
I just want to be in there and look around, you know?
Yes. Ugh. So you got to have the cardboard and whatnot. So definitely download it, guys. Because I know what I'm doing at 10:45.
Very
and
cool.
As for predictions... I missed some of what was going on. I didn't catch, like I asked you that first line, what did we see in that preview? I still don't know.
I think Mr. Robot was just basically like giving him an ultimatum. If you want to, basically, you know, if you want control, you got to kind of fight for it. And if you do, if you lose, basically, then I'm more in control.
Okay, then I'm going to say it's a great saying. It's called shit or get off the pot. Elliot.
Okay.
Time to do with
Gene. There you go. I'll make a prediction about all of the people that we've been seeing, Leon and Jay and everyone. I think that they're all real people, but I don't think that almost any of these interactions have actually happened. That's kind of where I am right now. You know what I mean? Like, at least not in this way. It's all a suggestion of something. And that's what I'm trying to, like, it's like I'm solving a Rubik's Cube, which I'm not good at. So
I'll support your theory because of last week when they were having the basketball game and the ball. Remember the scene where they were fighting over the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot was given a, like, he was narrating right there. And he said he's not afraid of anything. And as that happened, the ball rolled towards Joey Badass's character.
Leon?
Leon.
Yeah.
And then Leon stood up, what up, cuz? Yeah. And he started the fight. And as he was giving that speech, I'm like, interesting that he would say that as that would happen.
Right.
So
right.
It almost made me feel like it's a, you know, for me, it's...
Maybe they're all fake. Maybe they're all in his head. It could really go either way. But I would like, I kind of want them to be real. You know what I mean? But I want them to be like facsimiles of the actual people that they represent. Or they look entirely different. Or it's, maybe they're all one person. But I guess what I'm saying is I hope that it is external from Elliot. For not just in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's absolutely, I think everything that we see with him right now is definitely affected by his mind. Which I love. Okay. I love that we're It's like a whole season is a VR experience of Elliot.
It's kind of crazy, right?
So this is a hard show to predict, guys. This is a really tough show to predict.
She is the Oracle, I'm telling you.
Really? Okay.
I know. No pressure.
No
pressure.
Lay it on.
This is only the most compelling show I've ever watched in my entire life. So
the last two seasons, you've given some of the most in-depth analysis. And, like, seriously, I'm telling you right now, what does the Force tell you? Any predictions?
I'm drawing upon Mrs. the AfterBuzz mic. I am thinking that Angela will release those files, and because of one of two reasons. I think that either it's a ploy to sort of gain the trust of Price so that she can kind of show that she's a player in this game and that she is able to compete.
Gotcha. Okay, I continue, but I want to ask a question about that. Okay.
Or the opposite end is that she actually really is in this for the purpose that she started it, which is to expose these people. So either way, I think it can work. But I think that she might try to play it more to appeal to Price. Mm-hmm. But I do think that she is going to eventually play that card. She may not do it right away, but I think that there will be something that kind of pushes her to make that decision.
Gotcha.
Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, we'll figure out. But that's going to be my number one prediction. And then...
Oh, you get another one.
Really, there's two. Bring it on.
I know, right? This is like... All right, bring it in.
In the meantime, I want to shout out the fans as well.
Yes,
send us your predictions as well. Send us your comments. And make sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Please let us know what you think, what you want to see, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. We want to know what you guys think. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second prediction before we're out of here.
Second prediction... I'm thinking that Dominique is going to kind of figure out what's going on, or she's going to start to put the pieces together of what is going on. But there's something in me that's saying that she won't expose them, that either she'll learn more about what's happening and maybe appeal to it or connect with it in some way. Either way, I don't think it'll be a reveal of, oh, my God, this is a society. I think that she's very curious and intuitive and... like, kind of has her own agenda going on. So I think that she'll play to that more. So, dun, dun, dun.
A lot of story left to be told.
Yes,
so much.
True. And thank you, guys. Again, be sure to rate us on iTunes. Give us some thumbs up as well. Leave your comments. You know, this helps us to keep providing you all with free content. So we appreciate all of the love, all of the support. And, yes, let's go ahead and sign it off. Where can they find you guys on social media if they want to hang out with you later?
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at Tabolt, B-O-L-D-T, or on Instagram at Tbolt, also B-O-L-D-T.
Nice, man. And you can follow me on the deep recesses of Reddit. Or you can follow me at JC Rubio TV on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, and pretty much across the board.
All right. Cool. You guys can always check me out Facebook and Instagram, Ashley_Chapman. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next week for episode 3. Have a good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.